Good morning. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. So today we will be learning from Luke chapter 2, and we thank God that in school, Emerald and her friends have been learning Luke chapter 2, the whole passage I'll be preaching in, Luke 2, 1 to 20. And I requested for Emmy to help us do the Bible recitation today, and she graciously agreed. So, Emmy will help us with Luke 2, 1 to 20. Okay, so she wants to read and not recite.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up. From Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, betrothed, who was with a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, just as they had been told to them.
Great. Thank you so much, Emmy. I love you. Good job. You can go now. Thank you so much for being a part of this, the whole church, and Emerald as well for reading. And the past 3 weeks, and we have been looking at the whole series of "The Weary World Rejoices." The Weary World Rejoices. And today we will be looking at the song of the angels. And what this series has been trying to do is to take us into some of the conversations and the expressions of joy that have come from the announcement of the coming of Jesus. And one thing we don't want you to miss through this whole journey is how Jesus is central to the story of Christmas. No matter what you hear out there, no matter the marketing and the money you're spending, the real person, the real message of Christmas is Jesus. But not only that, Jesus is not just an idea. He's not just some personality that exists somewhere. In fact, like many people would love to say, he is not a myth. He is a person. He existed. He was, if he had an address, you would type it on Google Maps and find yourself somewhere there. And that is the fact of the existence of this person that came, but and not only was he in this world, but he has made an impact in our lives. And his presence in this world has changed lives. He speaks to our situations, to our circumstances. And today we will continue on this discussion about the angels' experiences and the shepherds' experience of the coming of Jesus. And today's sermon is titled Rejoicing in His Peace. Rejoicing in his peace. And Jesus being the central personality in this story today, I know there could be times that you have heard this story and the shepherds were the center of this story. Sometimes it was the angels that were the center of this story. But really the person that is the center of this story is Jesus. He is the one that founds this story. And at least just looking at the verses that we read today, Jesus fulfills at least two prophecies, but more than that, he fulfills the coming of the Messiah from the Davidic lineage. He fulfills the prophecy of being born in Bethlehem, but not only that, he fulfills the reality of the expansion of the gospel message to other parts of ethnicity, of the world, of peoples, of all the peoples of the world, as we will see in the sermon. So as we discuss this, I will try to bring out five things or five encouragements, five peace points about the coming of Jesus that we can learn from this passage. The first thing is that peace is in God's grand plan. Peace is in God's grand plan. And we know that peace has been an elusive thing in the world today. If you will count the number of conflicts and the number of wars happening around the world today, you would feel like not going out of your home. We can hear all the political discussions about gun violence and all of that. The crisis happening in the Middle East and in many parts of Africa. And all of the marital crisis that we have today, economic crisis, and a lot of things. And sometimes we have tendencies of feeling that peace is described by the things happening out there. So that if those things are not happening, then we have a sense that there's peace. But really the way the Bible describes peace, it is more of an inner, a wholesomeness that exists in the hearts of people. And what characterizes this wholesomeness? The first is, it is within God's grand plan. You know, and if you look at the story in Luke chapter 2, the way Luke narrates this story, he brings out the reality or the fulfillment of the prophecies made about Jesus. But these prophecies were not just about Jesus alone. Jesus was coming to fulfill something. And that thing is the salvation of the world. It is God's plan, God's idea, what God is doing in the world. In those days, a decree went out, Caesar Augustus, that all would be registered. But see what he did there, Luke does there. He begins to connect the lineage of Joseph with David. When this decree went out, Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David. This is a strong biblical prophecy that is being fulfilled here, whereby the promise of the Messiah coming from Isaiah chapter 6 and even Micah chapter 5 mentions that the Messiah was going to come from the family of David. Now, and God's interest here is not just for the coming of the Messiah, but he is orchestrating the events of the world. He is organizing and bringing to pass his plans for the whole history of humanity. So the coming of the Messiah was an event that was actualizing this plan that God has for humanity. So God was bringing in something, just like we heard from last week, when Kyle just took the story from the fall in Genesis chapter 3, and God calling a man, Abraham, and he brought out a kingship out of David, and promises that indeed the Savior of the world was going to come from the lineage of David. And even the prophets were pointing to this person that was going to come. And finally, this person is here. And this story is going to endure all the way to the end of the world, when this life that as we know it will be over. But not only that, there's something very crucial happening in verse 9. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The idea of the glory of the Lord is central to the Lord's relationship with his children. In Ezekiel chapter 10, after Israel would not listen to the Lord, the way the prophet Ezekiel describes the departure of the glory of the Lord, it was so dramatic. You know, it's just like you have a motorcade of the president just coming together to wait for the president. And he comes in and the motorcade just, it leaves. It departs from the White House, for example. And that is how the glory of the Lord left the temple in Ezekiel. And then finally, in Luke chapter 2, the glory of the Lord appears. And you know, it makes me wonder, why? Why to shepherds? The glory of the Lord to shepherds. And I will talk about that. But you know, what Luke is introducing here is the fact that this glory that departed is finally back. History is being remade. What encouragement do I have for you here? Sometimes we wake up from our beds, the alarm goes off, and we get up, we get a cup of coffee, we get ready, and we drop off kids in school, we go to work, and we meet this grumpy boss, and we clock into our work, and we do all of those things. And we just think that it is just the nitty-gritty daily details of our lives. But you know what? Our lives are a little piece of what God is doing in the world. The Lord is working out something. He has a grand plan. I mean, many people do not like to hear that. But you know, the reality is God is controlling the events of the universe. That when Jesus came up, it was a play of what God was doing in history. Like we have heard many times, history, his story. So your life, my life, our daily desires and problems, while they are really significant, God is actually working on a bigger and better plan for our lives and the world. Our daily experiences fall within the historical truth that God is in charge of the world. Leading to a secure end, peace then is found in putting ourselves in this great work that God is doing in the world. So we can only find peace when we put ourselves in God's story. And he has invited us to do that. Secondly, peace is in the person of Jesus. Verse 7. And she gave birth to her first son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In verse 10, it describes how that is. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." In Micah chapter 5, verse 5, it describes how this person will be born and he will be peace. So peace as we know it, the peace that the world is looking for today, is not peace in feelings. Peace is peace with God. Peace here is peace with God. Forgiveness, salvation that is brought by Jesus. And I will draw your attention to three titles that were given to Jesus. First, he is the Savior. Why is that important, that he is the Savior? It is important because the biggest conflict that we have in the world is solved in Jesus being the Savior. Just come to think of it. Why do we have problems in the world? Is it not someone trying to control another person? Is it not greed and selfishness? Why do we have all the problems, all the economic problems that we have, the political problems, the interpersonal problems that we have? Is it not selfishness, ego, pride? When you put them all together, they form a very small three-letter word that is very significant: sin. Sin. If you've ever lied, you've ever cheated, you've ever had a malicious thought, anything, you need a Savior. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. Many people think they don't need a Savior. You know, I met a brother who works in a part of the world that is very affluent. And he said, "You know, brother, it's so tough to preach the gospel because the people are so wealthy and successful and well-to-do." I said, "So why is it hard?" He said, "Well, they don't need a Savior. They feel that they don't need anything. They don't need any help." But you see, the biggest problem, the biggest human problem, it's not behaviors, it's not achievements, it is natural, it is existential, it is metaphysical. It is beyond what we can see or feel or hear. It is what has gone wrong in us. And that is what Jesus is here to correct. He is the Savior. He is Christ. He is Christ the Lord. The ones who grounds our faith, the one that gives us confidence. He is the Lord who rules the world. Savior, Christ, the Word. Jesus encapsulates everything that humanity needs. Advocacy, reconciliation, unconditional love. Our peace is assured because it is anchored on Jesus and not circumstances. Jesus is peace. Jesus does not only give us peace. He is peace. When he gives us peace, he gives us out of the overflow of who he is. He takes a piece of himself and offers us and says, "Hey, you have me. You have peace." So if Jesus gives us peace out of his nature, what does that imply for people that do not have Jesus? They are not going to have peace. They are not going to have peace. Just some few months ago, when the Surgeon General brought out the report, the loneliness, the epidemic of loneliness in America, he was very clear about it. I think I read part of it here. When he says that the faith community offers a robust community of support for people in times of difficulty. But because you see, when life is hopeless, when we can't see beyond our situations, we only find peace in Christ. The third thing about the peace that we have is that it is for the lowly who fear the Lord. Peace is for the lowly who fear the Lord. The good news of joy and peace was declared during a very rough moment for the nation of Israel. They were an occupied territory. In fact, conquered at least four times before Jesus came. By the Assyrians, by the Persians, by the Greeks. In fact, the language of the people of Israel, Hebrew, was not even a popular language when Christ showed up. The street language was Greek. Greek. Do you know what it means for your language to be replaced by a pagan, Gentile language? That was when Christ showed up. But come to think of it, that Joseph would embark on an 80-mile journey only not to have a place to stay in his own hometown. That even in the guest room, after going back home, you know, I remember something happened. The house we used to live in the city of Jos in Nigeria, got burned. It started from our neighbors and it was burned. And my son, who is here in America, was like, "Daddy, so when we go back to Nigeria, where are we going to stay?" Right? Just that sense that you don't have a place in your place. That is possibly what Joseph was experiencing. But think of the shepherds who were among the most lowly of the society. I mean, faith at that time, of course, there were sacrifices and all of that. But the shepherds were amongst the lowliest of the society in those days. I mean, who would want to come close to a shepherd with all of the stuff that they have to deal with? They have to carry things. They have fur all over their body. They, you know. But not only that, the religious system in Israel had collapsed. And you know, I keep wondering, why would the angels appear to shepherds? Why not make, who makes a big announcement in such a time as this? I mean, if we want to announce the coming of a baby, we want to do it during Thanksgiving, right? When everyone is happy and we're all enjoying and we say it, big news. If we want to give big news, we want everyone to be around and listening. Then we drop the big news. But these angels show up when things are not really, you know, going well. And who does he show up to? To shepherds? Show up to a priest. Come on, angel, priest. You know, I would give this announcement to a priest or to the Pharisee or to the temple. But he shows up in the wilderness with shepherds having a night vigil and he says it there. But you know, God was revealing something he was doing. He was escalating his plan. He was working with the lowly. I mean, if the Messiah is to come from the lineage of David, who was a what? A shepherd. Who was a shepherd? But even David himself is said to come from a very small tribe. In Micah chapter 5, "O ye Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who is even too little to be considered amongst the tribes of Judah." Bethlehem, the city where Jesus was born, where David rather was born, all the way to Jesus, it was such a very small city that had no significance. The humble and lowly experiences that we have are actually the opportunities that God gives us to experience deep peace in Him. That when we experience the things that humble us, the events of the world that make us feel like we do not belong, that is when God shows up and tells us, you belong to me. To me. It is at that time, when we go through these times, that our hands are open and are empty to receive God. When the proud and the haughty ones see no need for Jesus, we look to our lowliness and we say, Jesus, I need you. In 1 Corinthians, Paul was talking, he says, God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. Peace is in God's glory. Peace is in God's glory. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. You know, I was looking at this poem. It's such a very beautiful poem. And the way the multitude of angels express their awe and their happiness about the coming of this Savior, they express the relationship that exists between the highest and the earth, between God and man, between glory and peace. Glory, peace to God, to man in the highest on earth. And you know, it just shows us how much what happens here on earth depends on what happens in heaven. So the shepherds glorified God even when they heard this. And even God shows what it means for him to be glorified. And you know, sometimes we think that God exists for us. God exists by our worship, by our praise. No. But actually, we exist through God's glory. God does not get glory when we glorify him. When we glorify God, we are only stating the obvious. We are only stating what is already. That is, he is glorious. But you know how that translates into our lives is that we get peace when our lives align to this glory that the Lord has revealed to us. That is why he says, peace to those with whom he is well pleased. And who are those that the Lord is pleased in? Like Jesus, when he came out of his baptism and God was speaking, he says, this is my beloved son with whom I am pleased. When we are driven by personal comfort and peace as our goal in life, we lose focus of our calling and peace. But when we focus on glorifying God, we enjoy peace while we go through our experiences. God's glory and our peace are not at odds. The last is, peace is ours, but not ours alone. Peace is ours, but not ours alone. The good news expands. Just look at what the angel says. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. But not only that, unto you is born this day in the city of David, Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You see how the angel moves from announcing the good news for these shepherds and the Jews. And he says to all people, and look at what happens there. The language that is used For unto you is a description of the prophecy that was said of Jesus in Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born. And he now says, unto you. So you are now experiencing it. But he says, to all people. He is the light to the Gentiles. That is what all people means. And see what the shepherds did. After they heard everything, what did they do? They went. They were very eager to go see him. And when they saw him, they told others about it. And everyone was amazed. And all people there refers to people that are not Jews. People that the Jews disliked. We have an obligation to share the gospel, to tell others about this peace that we enjoy. As I close, I would love to encourage you. What are you going through? What circumstances are defining your life today? What are things you're experiencing? Are you feeling, okay, if my husband could be a little bit better like this, I would have peace? Or if my wife could a little bit behave this way, I would have some peace? Or if my son could be responsible? Or if you're like me, you feel, oh, if I could have a little bit more money, I'll have peace. Or if the world will stop fighting against each other, I'll have peace. All of these ideologies bombarding us, if they will not, I will have peace. Is Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have peace. And I want to challenge you to share this peace today and with brothers and sisters. As you sit at the Christmas table, as you talk about your life, as they request, who is going to say the blessing for the Christmas meal? Volunteer to do it. And talk about Jesus. This brother and sister that doesn't have peace, tell them about Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just commit our hearts to you and ask that you will allow us to yield to the peace that Jesus brings. I pray that you would encourage our hearts to find peace in your plan for the world, to find peace in Jesus, that even in our lowest moments, we will find peace in you, that we will share this peace with others, now and always. Amen.